Hey everybody, this is Bevan. Welcome to Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends podcast. I'm your host, Bevan. My co-host, Biscuit Reynolds, is reporting live from the metaphysical realm. He's probably where you are right now, snuggling you or bossing you around. Today's episode, I welcome back my friend, Chrissy Tolley. This is her fourth time in the Bevan's Party metaphysical porch, where we gather with our favorite blanket from childhood, cozy up on porch furniture of your choice, because it's all in the mind, and we hang out and real talk and dig in. I really love this podcast because, first of all, I'm my own producer, so I have no time constraints. Number two, we just get to talk about whatever is coming through. Previous episodes that you might be interested in checking out after this episode would be my first episode with Chrissy, which is episode 29. I'm going to put links to all this in the show notes so you don't have to remember. But look at me, between the episode and now, I've referenced episodes in this episode with Chrissy, so I want you to know about them. I would say prioritize this episode first, because whatever we're saying now is probably what you need to hear because you tuned in. And then episode 29, just to get Chrissy's background, because her story of becoming a professional psychic is pretty incredible. And then I would say then our episode number 137, which is about avoiding demonic possession. It's a big one. Manage your spiritual hygiene. You deserve it. And then also we talk about her original Patreon idea, supporting her original content, Reality TV Psychic. We talk about that in this episode and how, like, you know, sometimes you just start something and you realize this isn't the right container for this way, and it evolves. And so we talk about that in this episode, but the background is in episode 137. And then also we did episode 53 together, which was right after the start of what I would say, like, more accurately, we're still in an active pandemic, but the quarantine part of the COVID-19 pandemic, which is obviously not happening now. And then we also reference my episode. It's a solo episode, episode 139, about how to create via Patreon, and like the advice that I would give you as of when I recorded that episode, which I believe is 2022. So I have probably more developed advice I would give you if we did a one-on-one session. Of course, it would be tailored to you about what you could do with Patreon, but that'll give you a good running jump about kind of my philosophies around using Patreon as a way to create a safe space for you to develop as an artist, because I can count the art I'm creating today based on the support I was receiving 5 years ago when I started my Patreon page, which is the best way to support this podcast. Patreon.com, patreon.com/FKDP. It's a safe and secure site. You can go in. There's a little tip jar. If you just go to the shop, you can just throw me some cash if you want to help me make more art and don't want to commit to a membership. You can cancel anytime. And my Patreon members get access to so much more of me, including my aerobics classes. FKDP stands for Fat Kid Dance Party, which is my aerobics class for anyone who feels left behind by mainstream fitness. If you've ever been called too much, too fat, or felt too awkward to dance, mine is the supportive class for you. I love teaching this class. It really is my life's work. As much as talking is also my life's work expressed here on the podcast, and writing is also my life's work expressed primarily through my blog, queerfatfemme.com, which I have been publishing for since 2008, however long that's been. And I am so grateful to continue to create free resources because of the support of the members of my Patreon page. You can join at just any tier, get you access to my live Zoom classes. So as long as your time zone syncs up with my time zone, we can party together from all over the world, which I love the access of the internet. And also shout out to the internet for connecting us together right now, for connecting me and Chrissy together couple hours ago when we filmed this, right? Like, it's so interesting how, like, time, like, what even is time? But time is where you and I collide, right? But then also my on-demand tier allows you to have access to, like, so many aerobics classes that I have recorded over the last 5 years. And I continue to update it regularly. You get access to my in-person classes via the videos I record of the in-person classes. I've been teaching in Seattle live in person. I am hoping to do some kind of touring this year. I'm kind of calling it Bevan's Big Hug Tour. My hope is actually to get to Tucson, where Chrissy lives, at some point in April, if possible, because I'm I'm committed to getting to Vegas somehow, and I still don't know how, for a conference I want to go to. So anyway, it's all happening. I just don't know how. Leap and the net will appear. The universe keeps giving me these cards that say, say yes, leap. And I'm like, okay. And if you're not watching the video version of this podcast, I'm just making big wide eye. I don't know, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's a jolly free fall. That's what spiritual alignment feels like. Anyway, I hope that you enjoy this episode. I hope it connects to you. Please connect with me, fatkiddanceparty@gmail.com. If you have questions you want me to answer in a solo episode, or if you just have accolades for me, because frankly, I'm not money motivated. I wish I was, but I am definitely motivated to add value. And if I've added value to you, please use your words and tell me that I've added value to you, because that is really what keeps me going, is like, can I help one person with this effort? That's what gets me to do the effort. So I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks for tuning in, and I love you. Welcome back to the podcast, Chrissy Tolley.
So much, Bevan. I love to be here.
Yay. It's so funny. Right before the podcast, we were talking about what we were going to talk about.
Yes. Chrissy, we hadn't planned it at all.
No, we just decided to do it. And she was like, well, I guess I really trust you then. And I was like, yeah, me too. And so but who I trust most is the goddess to speak through us and have a great conversation today. And I always like to start business in the front. So Chrissy, tell us what you offer.
Sure. I am a professional psychic. I can technically be defined as a psychic medium. I am a psychic medium, but I think the average person would define me as a traditional psychic, which is to say that I am able to meet with someone, receive almost no information about them, and give them extremely accurate and specific information about their past, their present, and their future. I also have a Patreon where I support other people in stepping into their own version of spirituality. And I just in the past couple of months launched a Substack, which is an advice column called Ask Your Psychic.
Okay. So if you're looking to step into the Chrissy Tolley universe,
sure.
My suggestion is to start with a one-on-one session. If you are a friend of mine, roll up on me and I will DM you a code to get a percent off your reading with Chrissy, because she offers this to Patreon subscribers, not just because I'm special and I'm Bevan, it's because I pay money every month because I value Chrissy's Patreon community and Discord. So, but the one-on-one session is going to change your life, because Chrissy can see shit you can't in gentle and kind ways. There was coming out, if you listen to my, like, episode 2 is my gay divorce episode. I recognized abuse in my relationship because Chrissy helped me post-game and understand the dynamics at play that I did not understand while I was in them, because I was too, my ego was just too scared to see it. And so that was a big part of my healing. And Chrissy is just such a tender, helpful guide. Because it's not just, some psychics will just, you know, say, oh, spooky shit about your life. But like Chrissy's like spooky shit action plan, you know? So
spooky shit map.
Mm-hmm. Which is really helpful. And if you are like a little too afraid to take the step for a reading one-on-one, then just join Ask Your Psychic for free and read the advice that Chrissy gives. And you'll understand her approach. And I think it will help you get the courage to take that one-on-one step.
Yeah. And I've certainly said it to you other times, but just because we're being recorded and for, you know, the importance of eulogizing, Bevan, you have been such an integral part of the expansion of my career. Bevan is the reason I have a Patreon. Bevan is the reason that I have a Discord server that goes with the Patreon. And really structured the whole thing. And she's just incredible at building a community, online community. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Chrissy. It's really like an honor to run alongside you in life. And like, I love watching. My first Chrissy Tolley reading was like 2018, I think. Mm-hmm. 2018. Yeah. And it's been incredible to watch you develop. Like, you're just like a whole, I mean, you're the same essential person, but you're like a whole different person, because you've really worked through layers that were kind of
all layers.
true. And what I kind of love about your Patreon is I love helping people create in general. And I think Patreon's such an excellent container for people, and it like works differently for every creator. Something I knew was coming through you was like a community wanted to form around you. And community is like multiple people having multiple relationships, right? And so I have made very good friends now and have found other healers through your community and the people who gathered around you and have created the resource of your Discord, which is just extraordinary for anyone who's out there as a spiritual seeker. A lot of us are recovering Catholics, recovering from cults, recovering from like other sorts of religious trauma and social trauma too, you know, and of course the patriarchy that we're all kind of recovering from, and like learning self-trust. And self-trust and imagination are the two things that are, I think, the biggest things to develop when you're developing your psychic senses. And I think everyone has it in them.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm obsessed with you. You're a 1990 millennial, right?
I am. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're part of that, what I believe is like a chosen generation to help build the structures for the next, for the age of Aquarius. Cause like the old systems are crumbling before our eyes. Precedented times are over, everybody.
They're so over. They're so over. I've always been so, Bevan has talked to me about this little micro generation that I, what is it, 89 to 90?
89 to 91.
Yeah, yes, this little micro generation of people born from 1989 to 1991, and Bevan's told me repeatedly, she's like, "You're in this group. You're special. You're important." I mean, and I'm like, well, of course I want to believe that. My ego wants to be special. I want to be important, which I don't think
everybody is special and important. I would say that, like, you listening right now at home, you are absolutely special and important. Whatever is coming through you wants to be birthed. And I think there's something unique in the perspective. And I talked about this on an episode with Jana of Feeling Loudly about Taylor Swift, because we just went through her birth chart, because her outer planets are that 1989 micro generation. It's the confluence of a lot of things just structuring your life, right? Like, so it's this outer planet Capricorn stack. So Saturn, I forget the other two. I think it's Uranus and Neptune. But it's like this drive to see this like structure come to fruition, right? And like an ultimate like critique of bad structures, because a Capricorn can just see through bad leadership, you know? And then there's also the Jupiter in Cancer and Chiron in Cancer, which is like healing the mother wound, you know, and like, and also Jupiter's a teacher. So it's like teaching from this healing. And like, when you can teach from your healing, like, I think that's one of the best things I do when I'm going through a time of pain or struggle, is something that gets me through that is like, okay, there's a purpose to this pain because I'm going to teach from it, you know? And so, I mean, I'm a Jupiter in Leo, so it's different for me, but like, that's kind of like where my teaching is front and center. And it's in the 11th house, so it's about community and connection. And it's conjunct my Lilith, which means there's like a divine femininity that's part of what I teach, and a little bit of a chaotic femininity at that. But like the Capricorn stack, back to the millennial generation. The other important thing about this micro generation is the Aquarius North Node, which is like your soul's purpose is to do shit your own way in community, right? Like Aquarius is like an independent thinker, one of one, but like does it in network and connection with other people. And that's the only way we're going to get out of this like chaotic mess of late stage capitalism.
Yeah, that's my chart. You just described it right there. And I do have a very strong urge to build. Really, really strong urge to build. And I think I've always had it. So yeah, you've helped me build something and I'm so grateful.
Yeah. And like, here's the thing, in like, you know, the year of our internet 2024, like we have a democratization of information sharing and places to do that from. And so just learning how you out there can leverage what's available. I have a podcast episode if you want to hear like my brain as of like probably summer 2022, where I talked about Patreon and like how to build your own Patreon. It's right there. You know, like you can schedule a one-on-one with me, but like everything I got to say is right there. So, but I'm also really good at like fleshing out what wants to come through you and like helping you kind of make a strategy, and I'm only getting better every day. So who knows?
Devin's superpower. Whether you listen to that podcast episode or whether you hire Bevan, do it because it's transformed my life. It really has.
Yeah. And I'm proud of you too, because like you recently made the aha moment of like, okay, so the Patreon is for established clients, people who have already seen me, which I think is brilliant because like my Patreon is for anybody who wants to just pop by and have more access to me and like come to aerobics, right? Which like I think is a good, for me, it's a great container because these are like the people who I'm really here for is like the people who fuck with me heavily, right? And like want to support me making more art. There's a direct line between the support I've been receiving for the last 5 years on my Patreon to the art I'm able to create today and in the future, right? And for you, it's like it actually makes more sense that it's a place for people who are healing with you and spiritual seekers who like have you in common. And then here's this community, right? Instead of it's just like, oh, I'm just here to try out someone's random Discord. It's not like that.
Yeah, it took me a long time. So Bevan and I both, Bevan was supporting me in launching this Patreon in July of 2022. And it took me a really long time, so nearly 2 years, right, to understand what you just said, which is that this is not an open door thing that people can use to test me. Because I think it's really common for people in my industry, and I don't think this is wrong, but I think it's really common for people in my industry to build a sort of structure or something that has more accessible pricing, like a Patreon. And then customers and clients who are interested in them use that lower priced offering to test out that person and assess their not only like legitimacy, but also to see if they're a fit together energetically. And I was just understanding right away how sacred a space the Discord was because every single person there already trusted me and I already trusted them. And so I struggled to have the language for it, but I was really resistant for that first year of the Patreon to talk about the Patreon openly to other clients of mine and on Instagram. And you, Bevan, had been like, "Why you could have so many more participants? Why aren't you talking more regularly about your Patreon?" And I didn't understand it was because I wanted to keep that space safe. And frankly, I wanted to keep myself safe in that space. I did not want the energy that is common for of people coming in and like honestly being critical of me. And I think it's okay for people to be critical of me, but I finally realized that is not the place I want people to test me. And so Bevan's referring to essentially a series of Instagram stories I did in the past week, just announcing to people, hey, yes, there is a Patreon. And also, you only get to be here if you're already an established client of mine. If you've worked with me even one time and you like me, that means we like each other. But if you haven't worked with me, I don't want you there because I don't want you coming in with any sort of, even though I understand the energy is valid, energy of skepticism, questioning me or my talent or my values. It's just not the place to do that because this is a place where people heal.
Yeah. And I love that because, like, here's the first advice I'll give someone if they're launching a Patreon is like, basically, now every time you create something, you got to talk about your Patreon, which is like, is my role, right? For me, like, it's rare to have a podcast episode where I don't talk about the Patreon because it's what the podcast exists to promote, right? Like, I don't really do brand partnerships. I am my brand partnership, right? And but I it's interesting because like Chrissy never really followed that advice. I was like, I talk about your Patreon more than you do.
Yeah, that's correct.
Hey, you know what? Like it's all good because like sometimes God is revealing information to you over time. When you're ready to see it and understand it in an easier way. And I think some psychics get their legitimacy through fame. But fame is actually incredibly difficult to manage, and it's a responsibility people don't understand.
Psychologically damaging.
Psychologically damaging. It's a responsibility that not everyone can manage, you know? And like, it actually, like, I think sometimes fame stunts people's growth because it doesn't require you to continue growing, which, like, a leader that's worth following is someone who is like growing all the time and is developing themselves and getting uncomfortable and like getting into growth edges. And like, I really like that's, you know, there's a safe place for Chrissy to be and connect and like be supported and be validated by people who value her, right? Like, and it doesn't need to be like, oh, everyone's like a fan and happy with you all the time. But I'll tell you this, like, having been someone who's been canceled on the internet multiple times, knock on wood, I never want to go through that again. But like, I would talk to the people on my Patreon first about what's going on and like what they understand it to be, you know, like if there's like a critique or criticism coming through a good friend, right? Like, surround yourself with people who you can trust to be honest with you, right? And I think fame like tends to insulate people from honesty, right? And so, because you're like, oh, of course there's going to be haters, because, you know, having anger towards everyone reaching success, right? Like, but like, there is some valid stuff about, like, you know, whatever, right? Whatever you need to know about. But anyway.
Yeah, something I want to explain in case there's a listener, a regular listener of your Patreon who checked out other episodes that I'm in, because this is very cool. The fourth episode.
We're growing together in real time.
I know, I've been on of Bevan, a femme over 40 and her friends. So the last episode that we did together, I don't know, probably was fall of 2022. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, it was right around when the Patreon launched. So yeah, about fall 2022.
Summer or fall of 2022. And I was, because I want to get into this and then I want to talk about business ownership. But the Patreon originally started, backing up for a second here, the Patreon originally started because it was supporting a concept called reality TV psychic, because I am a person who loves reality television. I'm also a psychic who loves reality television, but I could stop doing this job tomorrow, at least on a professional level, and I would still love reality television. And so something I started back in October of 2021 was filming The Bachelor, one of my favorite series, on my phone via my Instagram stories, and then adding captions that were describing energetic reads I got of the contestants. So I started that in October of 2021. It kind of exploded is maybe too much, but like, people who know me and know my work were very interested in it. We then needed to contain it somehow. That's how the Patreon started. It was supporting this creative project.
And it wasn't just energetic reads, though. It was actually good teachings about, like, because you can learn, wisdom is like learning from experience, right? And you can learn from your own experience, or you can learn from people fucking up on TV.
That's right. Yeah. So it was, yeah, it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't just energetic reads. It was also reflections on culture and romance and dating. and it was really cool. And so I built this aspect of my brand called Reality TV Psychic. And my intention was to make it something that I was able to scale and become much larger. So I had a, and still do technically, but it's not active right now, an Instagram handle called at Reality TV Psychic. Bevan collaborated with me on creating content on there.
And I realized firsthand how much work it is to teach a television show. It's like, you could teach a class, right? Like, for an hour, but you're going to spend like probably 3 or 4 hours maybe prepping for that class, right? Depending on who you are and what your process is. And like, basically it's real time, 3 to 4 hours to record like a 1 hour show and just get clips to teach from, which is super, super a lot of work. So
yeah. So what Bevan and I discovered, and then Bevan also discovered firsthand as somebody who was helping me create content in the context of this brand, is that the way we were doing it was deeply nonsensical in regards to time management. And I have,
but I'm still here, valuable, and you can go back if you're out there and you're like, but I want to know. Yes, there, you can go back and watch. Like, I did half a season of Lizzo's Watch Out for the Big Girls. Chrissy did multiple seasons
of The Bachelor.
Bachelor in Paradise. Like, there's a lot there. So if you have some time, like, you got the COVID and you want to sit around watching something on your TV, on your, but you got the norovirus and you're on the toilet, like, you can watch those highlights.
It's good content. It was great content. I was proud of it. It also, I think, was really reflective of my Catholic upbringing, in that I am healing, but really struggled for many, many years with working harder, not smarter, and sort of subconsciously believing that that made me more worthy of attention or more worthy of accolades or legitimacy or whatever. And so
the ego wants to keep you busy.
It rolled, does it ever? And so, yeah, there's the way we structured that brand didn't make sense. And then even when I was creating content in a more time efficient way, I still realized that I really like being on social media. I think I'm good at social media. And I also don't want a whole aspect of my life to be creating pop culture content constantly, you know, for years, because people who have brands of that nature that are, especially if they're, you know, talking about TV shows or, you know, wanting to be a sort of figurehead in that way, that's what they do for years often until they reach any sort of, you know, level of following, I guess. And I was just like, I don't care about this enough to keep up with this way that I thought. I don't have the team. I don't have the interest. I think that my time is better used elsewhere. And so ultimately, Bevan and I both, because we were collaborating on it at the time, decided to stop it. And what was interesting is that in the meantime, we had built a Patreon.
And the community came together, and then it became something we didn't necessarily foresee, but like, perhaps I wouldn't have even dared to hope how good it could be. It's so good.
It's and phenomenal.
It's phenomenal. It's people, it's like spiritual seekers of all different expertise and levels, and like just beginning to like people who are like, you know, when Jess Morgan Grace shows up to Coffee and Cards, I'm like, it's on. Like, she's so good, you know, but like, you know, also we just have the coolest things going on. So there's Coffee and Cards, which is the Saturday morning hangout, where we get together with the beverage of our choice and the card decks of our choice, and we give each other readings. And it's just that simple. Like, you might just like read from the book of the card that you picked, and that's just practice with divination. And then when you have someone who's like far more on the experiential end, they'll like pull, like Jess will pull out three cards and then read you.
Yeah, just give them the actual reading, which would normally
Yeah, exactly. Normally you would give money for that reading, and you just get it because of community, right? Which is beautiful. And sometimes it's like just a couple of us, and I've just had developed friendships because like community means you keep showing up. And I really firmly believe you can make friends online from all over the world, thanks to our blessed internet, you know? So, and then we have weekly Wednesdays, which is just a weekly check-in where we check in about what's going on in our lives. And then whoever's hosting the meeting talk like fills in the rest of the time, like maybe with a journal prompt or card, like divination of some kind, or just a salon style chat.
Yeah, so salon style. It does feel very funny to me, even now, like 2 years into it, that I don't think this is arrogance. I think this is just the truth. I love that I never found a spiritual community I trusted, and so I just had to make one.
This is the reason for most of Bevan's parties. I didn't find the party I wanted, so I had to make my own.
Right. I was like, yeah, I don't trust these people. And that doesn't mean they aren't good people, and that doesn't mean that, you know, as individuals, I would dislike them or distrust them. But most spiritual community is not safe in America, and particularly in white culture. And so I just had to build my own.
Which is good. And also I want to point out too, from the reality TV psychic thing, it's good to start something and then realize like, this is not sustainable. This is not actually what I wanted to create. And it's okay to end it. You know, like there is like, a consistency is the victory to starting something and continuing. Like, I'm proud to say I have taught Fat Kid Dance Party aerobics every week for the last 7 years and multiple times a week, most of those weeks, and like more than 750 classes. I can say with confidence I am very good at this thing because I started it and I kept it going, and I'm very proud of it. And like, I think like what you're consistent at is rewarded over time. But a lot of us have this very short-term mindset of like, I've invested this thing and I'm not seeing the result I want. Sometimes the result is like, it's not this, it's something else. It's not this, it's something better, right? Like, I think the Patreon was kind of more inspired because you had content you wanted to create and get support doing that. And then you realized, oh, it's not this content. It's actually this community that came together and like restructured.
And then it gave me the opportunity to make different content and experiment with different types of content, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think so much of business ownership is trying something out, realizing it was bad, or realizing what about it didn't work, and then getting creative and switching it up until it works.
Success looks like failure 80% of the time. You just gotta fail. Just like when you learn to walk, you fell a lot. Like, that's the whole point. It's just you try lots of ways of walking until you figure out what actually works.
Yeah, and I think maybe it's, I don't know, that like Capricorn stellium right there. I have a respect for how long things take that the average person doesn't.
You know what? I didn't come into that organically. I had to come into that learning it from entrepreneurs who had done some shit and had it stand the test of time. And like, if I had not had the emotional support going into creating Fat Kid Dance Party, I don't think I could have sustained it. And it's been just the keep going, you know, epic of.
I think if I truly, if I wasn't in the romantic relationship I'm in, I don't know that I would have been able to sustain it. My fiance Edgar has been a really key component of what has allowed me to be consistent. And of course, my friendships, I'm lucky enough to have some of like the deepest, closest friendships ever. You know, people who I knew in a professional context and then became friends like you. This isn't a one person, this is not a one woman show. This is, even though it seems that way, it is not. It's not.
Oh, I love it. Three cheers for Edgar. We
three
love
cheers
Edgar.
For Edgar. So kind.
And three cheers for Milo, the cat, who also supports you. Like, I couldn't have started my aerobics class probably without my then fiance supporting me, like supporting my rent so I could throw my whole self into a new thing. And also the cheerleading, you know, alone was really helpful. And then like Biscuit Reynolds, may he live long in our hearts, like supporting my emotions and spirit after that relationship ended, you know. And plus, like, I have a giant support network and I'm really grateful for it. And I think in many ways I'm like in this capacity building phase of life because like I'm learning how to really trust my support system. Cause like, I think a lot of things that has held me back. And I think this is probably true for you too. It's like, I'm scared to take on the responsibility if this thing blows up. And whether it blows up in like everyone's noticing it way or blows up in an I'm failing way, you know, like, or maybe a little bit of both at the same time, you know, like, and I think just recognizing I'm enough for everything I need to walk into and I just need to keep taking steps. Tell me about your Duolingo victory.
Oh God. Okay. This is something that's happened that Bevan has been so sweet and cute about, and I keep trying to downplay it because it seems like not a big deal, but Bevan is reminding me that it is a big deal for me. So I am marrying into a Latinx family. My fiance is Mexican-American, and my Spanish, I do not have a natural aptitude for second languages or second or third languages that are not the one I grew up with. I do not have a natural aptitude. It's like me and skiing. Like, I have to relearn how to ski every time I go skiing. That's how Spanish is, unfortunately, even though I've been theoretically studying Spanish since I was five. So finally, a couple years ago, essentially, I said enough is enough. And I started doing Duolingo every day. And I ended up losing a streak when I was about 150 days in, but then I restarted it and I'm around 890 days right now. Let's go double check. And 887 days. It's actually a huge deal that I have this long of a Duolingo streak.
That's great.
And because I'm a bananas person, I've genuinely thought to myself, what if I end up getting cast, there's no reason this would happen, by the way. What if I end up getting cast on a reality series and then I'm not able to have my phone because I'm stuck on an island? Would I be able to go to the island if I wasn't able to continue my Duolingo streak? And I've thought about it really seriously. Good thing that's not gonna happen.
Why don't you write it? I mean, here's the thing. If something happened where there was a reality show that wanted you, you could make it part of your thing and be like, I can't do it unless I can maintain my Duolingo streak. So you're either going to trust me with my phone so that I can maintain my Duolingo streak, or this isn't going to work. I think at some point, at this point, any reality show that would try to cut you off from your phone would be soliciting you so specifically, Chrissy Tolley, that you can say this is the thing that's a non-negotiable.
That is a really great point, and I'll have my agent write it into my contract. Well, but yeah, no, I've actually thought that possibility through. So anyway, I'm at 887 days, and
Proud
I'm
of
really
you.
proud of it. I actually just had, in regards to consistency and routines, I had a breakthrough in therapy yesterday that I'd love to talk about because it feels very relevant. I've always really struggled with consistency in routines. I am one of the many late diagnosed ADHD people. And so, they've done many studies on this. It is naturally more challenging for people with this particular type of neurodivergence to build habits, right? And you are a great person and have made many, lots of types of content about what it is to be consistent and build habits with a neurodivergent brain. I have always been really, really resistant to it, more so than makes sense, not just more so than makes sense. And I was digging into it in therapy yesterday, and I realized it's because I'm very afraid of who I will become on the opposite side of those routines.
Is it the responsibility fear or is it a different fear?
It is the responsibility fear, but it's particularly both of my parents were married, but they split up when I was very young, like in the first year of my life. And I think one of the reasons I split up is because they're just too similar. They're really similar in these distinct ways. And one of those is that they have both learned, I think, to be highly regimented. And so at least in the amount of time I've known them, and I have only known them since they were 33 and 35, respectively. But in the amount of time that I've known my parents, they've both been extremely regimented. And it has seemed as if there is an ease to that strictness that they enact on themselves. I don't think it's actually easy, but there is. And so I think I always saw, honestly, the rigidity and the consistency of both of my parents, even though they were not together, as being something that kept them from feeling. And I don't necessarily think that's wrong. And I think that lack of feelings often, like many people in that generation, led them to not be able to accurately assess choices they were making in their lives. And so I think I have this fear that I will, even though this is so, I know it sounds so bananas saying it out loud, but I have this fear that I'll become a highly regimented person and just forget to check in with my surroundings, become somebody who is not assessing threat or not assessing life path. And I figured this out, I think, formally and officially in therapy yesterday. And my therapist said, he was like, that's really just not how you've been for 34 years. So I don't think that's who you're gonna become. I'm like, right. Like me, ultimately me waking up at a certain time and going and standing in the sun and then drinking a glass of water probably isn't gonna result in me being deeply miserable down the road. I really think that because of the ways in which the similarity of my two parents, and I've seen them both use it to their advantage, and then also I think to a degree use it against themselves, weaponize that rigidity against themselves, has I've been hellishly resistant. And that's held me back. It's held me back in a lot of ways, I think. So it's like there's this shift occurring right now where I'm like, okay. And then it happened this morning. I woke up. I didn't check Instagram. I didn't check my text messages. I went outside, I stood in the sun for like 30 seconds, and I drank water. It was a huge deal for this seems so simple and so silly, but it's like a really big deal for me to be willing to engage in a morning routine. And you know what? No one died, and I was in a great mood, and then I went to exercise. Look at me go.
Wow, you
Prove
treated yourself like
something.
a plant.
What? Yes, I did. I
Yeah.
truly did.
Yeah. You're like, I deserve sunlight. I deserve water.
Yeah, exactly. And so it has felt good to realize, it's felt good to realize the ways in which I can take, and this is so much of what adulthood is, right? I can take certain ideas or concepts and apply them to my life in ways that work for me without fulfilling society's idea of what that should be, or like family of origin's idea of what that should be.
I think some people's idea of rigidity, it keeps them safe, and they're just so terrified of what happens on the other side of their like things that keep them safe, as though they have that control. 'Cause like, you know, I prefer to think of God as keeping me safe, and God is constantly changing. God is change. And so like recognizing the adaptability that can come from that. Something that's interesting is like I too have rigid boomer parents, and
Most of
it's so funny because I think one of the my friend Alexis taught me this is like the big distinction between boomers and millennials is that like boomers are like have the same access to information. We all have our little, I call it my love rectangle. We all have a love rectangle that attaches us to all of the people I love, right? But also all the information in the whole fucking world, right? So, millennials grew up knowing that we could just Google, right? Or, you know, whenever we got to Google in our lives, right? Boomers just don't trust it because they need their own, like, it's like you grow up with this authority that says this is the way it is, and that's how they describe the world. And you grow up like being taught, because like I'm like a Xennial, like, so I feel like I have a very millennial mindset, and I try to hang out with people who are younger than me. And like I'm so stoked about Gen Z. Like I just really see young people as something worth learning from, because everyone is worth learning from in some way. It's like either learning how not to be or how to be, right? And like seeing millennials like just utilize this as like a second brain, you know, like you don't have to know everything because it's here, you know, it's possible to really figure some stuff out. But like I was raised in a very like, you know, I was raised into the internet like when I was a teenager, but like my early years, my mom was the authority figure and she knew everything. And my mom can say things with such confidence that you think she's saying the right thing, even if she might be wrong. And like it's really interesting, like watching boomers struggle because they're not willing to be wrong. It's like all this ego that's keeping them safe. Like, oh, well, I know the answer. I have to know the answer. It's in my brain. Instead of remembering, like, there's an elasticity of like having an expansion of what you know. And part of my learning and like it's unlearning the parent stuff is like unlearning the parts of my personality that were masks where I was just copying my mom. 'Cause like I'm her opposite personality. I'm phlegmatic. There's a book called Wired That Way that just changed the way I saw people. And there's like four main personality types. And phlegmatic is just very chill and like very absorbing. And phlegmatic people are really easy to get along with because we can adapt to other people around us. And my sub
You told me that I was phlegmatic and I was shocked. It, because you're right, that's actually very true. But I perceive myself, even though I do know myself to be anxious, I perceive myself as being, I don't know, rigid, anxious, crazy, intense.
Because you were raised by people who utilize that as a coping mechanism. My
I was
mom,
not, because I was not raised by phlegmatic people, let's put it that way.
yes, exactly. And like, I mean, it's kind of dangerous in that way because like you become a chameleon of your environment. And like part of healing is unlearning all those adaptive coping mechanisms, right? And so like my mom is choleric, which is very controlling naturally. Like she feels like she really just loves to be in charge, you know? And like she's really good at being in charge. And like I'm also good at being in charge, but that doesn't mean I need to be in charge. Like, it's actually not my first, my personality is to chill. And once I realized that, and I realized how much rest my body actually needs to feel good and how much rest my brain needs to optimize, like, because the things that matter to me, this is life is about priorities, right? And so the things that matter to me get my best, and the things that don't matter as much, they might not even get me at all, you know, like, and if they get me, they're gonna get like a B plus, you know, like, I'm here to perform at an A for these three things. And then the rest of it is just like, here I am, like, and I'll show up if I can, you know, and like, otherwise I might need to be laying down, and I might show up laying down if I show up, you know, which is why I love online community, because I can be on my recliner with my feet up because I need that. My body needs rest. So anyway, it's interesting to show up consistently and see what that magic is. I'm doing a 22 days of tarot challenge, and yesterday we meditated on the magician, and the message I got was about like how they're like, first of all, we have everything we need at hand. We can create the world of our dreams. We just need to do it, you know, so it needs action. But like, the magic is consistency. The magic is showing up again and again and again and again and again until you get great at something, because you don't have a passion for something that you've never done before, you know, like, and you don't develop a passion until you start doing something. And then once you have like that conjuring energy and you've tried it and you're like, yeah, this is a thing, let me keep refining, let me keep getting better, you just got to keep showing up.
Right, and ultimately, it feels very clear to me that I am really, really good at showing up for work.
And I want to give you props for, have you been doing this 7 years?
Yeah, it's gonna, it's
Yeah.
almost in July.
7 years in July from being Chrissy Tolley as a psychic and a professional psychic, and you keep showing up.
Yeah, and I always will. I always will. And I'm so it's like it took me a long time to realize, kind of like you're saying, oh, I can do absolutely anything if it's the right thing for me. But I was not raised that way. I was raised, as many of us were, to be, you will do exactly what we say, and you will have that same level of enthusiasm and intensity and obsession and drive and focus, even if it's not a fit for you. And
Yeah.
I'm, and we, this is actually something you and I spoke about at length in the first podcast episode we ever did together. I just set myself up. I'm not making it about, you know, my family or even society. It was my choice. I set myself up to fail.
Yes. And yet, like, here you are, like, you know, a professional
There's a
working
big pivot, a dramatic pivot in
Yes.
2016, 2017 that led us here. And so it's been really healthy and healing to my self-image to realize, no, I'm a fucking hard worker. It's just, I need to be going, the motor needs to be going in the correct direction. Because other, if it's not for me, why would I work that
I
hard?
mean, listen, as an ADHD cutie, you might recognize this. Like, I did very well in the classes I cared about, and like, I did pretty good considering in the classes I didn't care about. And like, I think like we need to raise our kids. I'm going to make a broad statement. I think we need to raise our kids to do what they are passionate, like what really stokes their juices, and recognize that everyone is different by design, and we don't all have to be strong in algebra to make the world great, you know?
The people who are strong in algebra are supposed to be.
Yes, good for them. I
Yeah,
want
they're.
them to be strong in algebra. I want the people who are designing the airplanes I fly in to be really good at their jobs. Like, I want my surgeon to be very, very good at being a surgeon. You know what I mean? But like, for me, what's very important to me is being great as a spouse, a mom, a friend, a community member, and then an aerobics instructor and like a leader, you know? And those are like my main gigs, right? It's like being Bevan and loving my people and, you know, being great at aerobics.
It's very harmful that we were taught we had to be equally good at everything. It's actually so wild.
Such a waste of time. I think back about school and like how exhausting it was for me, because like, if I could have only just refined down to like 3 to 4 hours of learning a day, and then like spent the rest of my time like focused on things like aerobics, you know, like, I hated most exercise. I always thought it was because I was fat, and so therefore movement was punishment to me for like having a failure of a body, right? Which is all just taught to me by well-meaning white supremacy, you know, like well-meaning people who are funneling white supremacy at me, right? And then I eventually realized, oh no, it's because I'm an aerobics genius and I actually know what's fun for me to move because it's going to be fun for other people. And I'm going to use this as a platform to teach people how to feel free in their minds and bodies. And I just got to keep doing the brain work of getting free and then teaching it on the dance floor.
It's been really interesting for me to realize that, bold statement, but I don't think I'm wrong. It's been really interesting for me to realize how much more, because I have focused on what I'm good at and what I actually want to be doing, I have more job security than most people I know.
Because nobody else can do Chrissy Tolle but Chrissy Tolle.
Nobody else can do Chrissy Tolle but Chrissy Tolle. And because nobody can fire me. I have high demand. Individual people can choose not to see me, and that's valid, and that's okay. But I think it's, you know, we're learning more and more, especially with, you know, all of the layoffs various industries have experienced over the past 6 to 9 months. We're just learning more and more that, like, you have to build your personal brand. That is what you have to take care of. You have to take care of yourself and your expression of self in the professional world.
Yes.
That's what you got to be loyal to. It's weird. It is weird. It is weird to have chosen. It's cool, obviously, but it's weird to have chosen such a non-traditional path and be like, okay, yeah, I think I made the best choice. Odd, right?
Yeah, objectively, like, yeah,
choice for
best
me.
Choice. Best choice for you. But also, like, it's interesting, best choice for you, and certainly not the choice that your parents would have made for you or society would have made for you.
No, yeah.
They want you to, you know, go to work and spend a lot of money on corporations so that they can just siphon resources out into, you know, Jeff Bezos's 24th yacht.
Yep.
Oh, that's so weird. Chrissy, let's talk about prayer.
Oh, yes. Yes. I wanted to talk about prayer.
Okay. In your Patreon, there's an excellent video, which is called...
I believe, I haven't looked at it in a long time either. I believe it's called Prayer for People Who Are Scared Of or Resistant to It.
Yeah. And it's a really good basics of prayer. Like, I would tell people, just like, if I were introducing you to prayer as a concept, the metaphysical support system you have can't help if you don't ask, because we have free will choice. And right. So I have realized that, like, God really can only work in the present moment and today. And I'm still not even fully sure why certain things are daily, but, like, I know my life has radically changed and improved ultimately, even though sometimes it's hard, like, in the improvement, using A Course in Miracles prayer every day. What would you have me do? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say, and to whom? And I'm like still on like day 150 something of A Course in Miracles. I haven't yet gotten consistent with that, but that's okay. I will get consistent, but I've been consistent about that prayer every day for a real long time, years.
Yeah.
And so I love the way you teach prayer to people who are resistant to it for whatever trauma reasons they usually have around prayer.
Right, right. Or religion, or worthiness, or believing that they get to have needs or preferences or wants.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I believe this is my cosmology and doesn't have to be true, but it is my understanding. I believe, like you said, we live on a free will planet. So in order to secure spiritual assistance of any kind, however you define that, you have to ask. There are ways to overtly ask using language and consciousness, which I would describe as prayer. And there are ways to less overtly ask, which is maybe just beliefs or ideas or yearnings that are not top of mind. But I am becoming that dreaded person in the lives of people I love, where I'm asking them when they come to me with a problem if they've prayed about it. Like Christian ass stereotype that is often associated with people outside of Christianity, at least, and outside of those communities, associated with being dismissive or uncaring. And I do not ask people that question in that context. I'm asking them, have you taken responsibility for your relationship with the divine in order to connect with the systems that be that want you to succeed and energetically want you to receive what you most desire, yearn for, need in this moment? Have you taken responsibility for that relationship in this problem you're experiencing right now? And most people haven't, because most of us believe we have to suffer alone. And so I just see, regardless of who you're praying to, I don't care. I always say, choose your fighter. And choose your fighter means
pray to whoever. Choose your fighter.
I don't give a fuck. Do you know what I mean? It can be like the Christian God. It can be oneness. It can be Mother Nature. It can be a deity from a lineage. It can be Allah. Choose your fighter.
Archangels. Right. I'm a big archangel prettier. Archangel Michael is always there for you, and he's especially always there for me.
Right. Just choose your whoever, and it can be your God, as you understand God, as we say in 12-step programming, and put it out there. I am really specific about my prayers because I notice how much it works. As good as I am at faith, and as good as I am naturally at the metaphysical, I need proof as much as the next person. And I've spent many, many years trying to figure out if I'm absolutely unhinged and trying to figure out if this whole understanding of my abilities in the world and how I perceive Earth is just a bunch of bullshit. I've spent years now trying to figure that out. But no, I can tell you, I have a lot of proof, even if it's just my understanding of reality, I seem to have a lot of proof that what I think is correct. And one of the things that I do is I pray for help with all, when I remember to, and when I am caring for myself in this way, I pray for help with tons of problems, right? And they can be really small. It can say, my car is making this weird noise. I need to thank you, spirit, for helping me figure out what the problem is. And thank you then for helping me find the solution and have financial ease around whatever that solution is, right?
Is your car okay right now?
It is. It does need to be maintenance. But it is. I had a car before. Love you, Ford Taurus. I had a car before that was constantly struggling, and I had to pray about quite a lot. I've now up-leveled to a Subaru Forester, which has been such a gift, and I'm so grateful for the money through my business to be able to afford that.
Amen. Thank you.
I pray for everything. I pray constantly about problems, and I'm mostly focusing on problems. I'm also thanking spirit for things, but I think the thing I want to emphasize right now is less gratitude, which people have spoken about just ad nauseum because it is so important, and more about how frequently we decide that our logistical problems are only ours and make the assumption that there is not support on the other side for what we would consider small inconsequential things that we assume spirit doesn't care about.
I like to think of it as making your 411 calls, like the little problems, so that you feel confident in the 911 call. Cause like,
beautifully said.
I mean, it's that, and it's not original to me. A lot of what I say is I'm just like, I do a lot of positive input into my life so I can say these sharp sounding things, but like, it's so important to learn to trust in the little ways because relationships are a habit. Because habits are behaviors you repeat, relationships are connections you continue to show up for, and your relationship with your metaphysical guides and helpers is there to help you. You know, they want to help, and they want to help in these little ways so that they can come through in the big ways. And like, I even just like over the winter, there was a night where like my outflow pipe on my house froze, so I couldn't like use water, otherwise it was going to back up into my house and flood me. So I prayed. I was like, archangels, just please help with my outflow pipe. And I woke up in the morning, it was 33 degrees and my outflow was working. And I was like, look at that, you know, and like just tiny miracles mean you're going to get the big miracles later, you know? And like, you posted this on Instagram.com today, and I want to talk about it a little bit. Like, it's like, things are not necessarily going to be okay. You know, like, I think a lot of the grieving work is just recognizing that the things that aren't okay just are. And like, it's really just continuing to expand your capacity for joy anyway. And like, continuing to expand your capacity for, okay, I prayed for this thing and it didn't turn out how I wanted it to turn out, but that's okay too. I've had a lot of grumpiness around manifesting because there are big, big goals and dreams I have in my heart that have not come to pass. But you know what? I have the best mental, spiritual, and emotional health of my life right now. So like, and physical health, you know, like, so, you know, that's something worth celebrating. And I think in many ways, it's kind of creating a foundation for me to have a better outcome of the things I want to have when and if they do come to pass.
Yeah, right. And I think I, to your point about the 411 prayers or asks versus the 911 prayers or asks, I think one of the reasons, at least in my mind, and I know this is so biased for me to be saying, because I was raised Catholic, I was cradle Catholic, 13 years Catholic school, I've never known a reality, or at least in this incarnation, an understanding of Earth in which there is not a divine being that is paying attention, right? And many people don't know that, right? And that's why they're resistant to prayer. Or many people, I would say, actually have quite a lot of religious trauma, but many people have religious trauma to a degree where the idea of engaging with this at all feels just insurmountably scary, or even triggers PTSD, OCD type symptoms, whatever, right? And that's very real. So I don't mean to dismiss that. The reason I like the idea of asking for help with tiny specific logistical concerns is because they will build up proof over time, right? In more trust that something is listening and wants to be useful, right? Because I spend, to your point about these bigger dreams, I spend a lot of, you and I are actually different in this way. I don't think one option is better than the other, but I notice we do approach it differently. You tend to have really big prayers and dreams, and I tend to chunk things down more.
Mm.
And I think some of it is low self-esteem issues on my part, right? Some of it is me kind of pivoting myself in the direction of these larger dreams and being safer, feeling safer to ask, right? Mm-hmm. So I look up to you in that way. And in other ways, it's like, you know I really want to write a book, and I've spent years being resistant around this, right? And so instead of, I need to write a book, why am I not writing a book? Help me write a book. Give me opportunity to write a book, right? It's about these, like, and you do this so well, as also these tiny steps to get to the point where that is possible, right? Of, okay, I'm praying to have the willingness to write every day. I'm praying to have the willingness, open-heartedness, bravery to make writing something that's a part of my brand at all. I'm over here saying I want to write a book, but for years, writing was not central to my world in any way. No one even knew that I'm a writer. I've hidden it on purpose out of shame, right? So I do think there is a lot of validity to this question of, okay, how do we sit with the discomfort and the disappointment of the bigger dreams that we don't ask for? And I just want to offer, there's a lot of strength in not only praying for, okay, what am I not seeing and what missing pieces am I not getting here, but also in praying for, okay, how do we take this dream down to this really micro level so that I am receiving help every single step of the way?
Wow, I think that gave me a big breakthrough, because I think in many ways, like, we're attracted to our friends as soulmates because they have stuff to teach us and help us. And I think I do, like, think big in the big thinking, because that's easy for me to think in the big. But like the little micro, you're the same exact issue with writing. Like, I love writing, or I hate writing. I think the process of writing is agonizing, actually.
Yeah, it is. It's terrible. No one likes that.
It's so terrible, but you have to show up to it in order for it to work, right? And so, like, creating a consistency, like, again, I'm just turning on my burners slowly but surely, and like, creating a consistency around a daily writing practice is huge for me. And like, I'm actually stoked to hear what books you want to write, because like, I'll say I have lots of books in me, and yet, like, I've really held off on writing books because I know you kind of need an audience to make it worthwhile. But like, even one person as an audience is worthwhile. And that's why I got consistent with my podcast again, because I was very consistent for a long time doing it weekly. And then last year, I did an intense spiritual journey with Leah Garza in the Akashic Mentorship, and like really just kind of like peeling off more layers of me that weren't really there. And I think I needed to let myself be tender and not have to like have it figured out enough to talk on a podcast. And still did some episodes last year, but definitely not 52. And this year I'm back to consistency because I saw that I am like the number one podcast for like 12 people, which I was like, little me, you know? And like someone once told me, or just recently told me, that they listened to some of my podcast episodes 5 times or more. And I'm like, me, you know? Like, so recognizing that value and like how it is worthwhile to show up to whatever practice it is, whether it's writing or not, right? Like, and so prayer is a practice that you show up to, right? Like, to just get the help with. And willingness is one of the best prayers, I think, because a lot of times that's really the biggest thing in the way is our willingness, because like we're just afraid of the result.
Right. And prayer for the willingness to do something is very 12-steppy.
Oh, let's celebrate you doing your Al-Anon step work.
Thank you. I don't know that I've ever been more proud of myself for anything. Yeah. Honestly.
It's hard. I mean, like, it's really so looking at hard. Your shit is hard. And like, you have to have so much. I mean, that's the best part about having a sponsor and a good home group is like, you have a safe place to look at the hard.
Yeah. Right. So I to speak about my 12-step journey for a little bit, I spent, God, I age 19 to about a year ago, coming in and out of 12-step rooms in various kinds. I do not struggle with chemical dependency, so I do not struggle with drug or alcohol usage, but I struggle with codependency at truly a debilitating level. And I would say I've definitely had some real flavors of sex and love addiction, a lot of, so yeah, I've tried a lot of different 12-step programming. Workaholism, a huge one for me. So I tried Al-Anon. I left it originally after I broke up with an alcoholic ex-boyfriend because, you know, I did the thing that's very common in that fellowship, which is to say, the person who this is about in my life isn't here. Fuck this. I don't want to do this work. This isn't about me. Ha ha ha. I did SLAA for a second. So that's Sex, Love, Addicts Anonymous for a second. Should have stayed in, was not ready. CODA, I did Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Families pretty consistently over the course of about a year, but I never found, I did have a home group. I didn't find a sponsor. I did Workaholics Anonymous over the pandemic. So I just kept not finding a sponsor. And I'll tell you why I didn't find a sponsor, Bevan. I mean, I think a lot of it is I just wasn't ready. But more of it was that I have a tendency to come into spaces where people need help and make myself helpful so as to get out of doing my own work. That's so crazy. And so I would just sign up for a bunch of service positions and people, because this has always happened to me, people would just sort of be gravitated toward my energy and use me as a sponsor-like figure in spite of the fact that I was not doing the work. I was just showing up and being codependent as in some ways, definitely absorbing the lessons of what we were learning, right? So it's not that it wasn't positively affecting me, but I was not doing the the spiritual transformation work that is the steps under the tutelage of a sponsor. And I was instead just putting myself in an authority position. So the most recent time I did that was 2020 to 2021 in Workaholics Anonymous. And then finally, because of a number of reasons I'm not going to get into, I went back to Al-Anon formally and officially in February of 2023. And I found a sponsor and I've been with the same home group that amount of time. And I celebrated my 1 year Al-Anon anniversary on February 15th.
Yeah. And what step are you on now?
Six.
Six.
Yeah.
Miracles unfold when you're willing to look at yourself. And
Holy God.
And it's just a prayer for the willingness, truly. Cause like, I mean, I think everything matters, right? Like, so I do think it's like either everything matters or nothing matters. Leah Garza and I have a great conversation about that. But like, it's everything matters because like what you're, when you're putting good things in, right? You're diluting the shitty stuff, right? And so like, even just being around healing people is going to rub off on you, even if you're still too scared to look at yourself. Cause that's really what step work is. It's like, it's not the fearless and searching moral inventory, and like digging in. And like, I think, you know, I did my step work maybe 10 years ago, and you know, that work still continues, right? Like, I'm still, you know, working through stuff and discovering new stuff, and probably could go through the steps again, you know. And it's interesting, an active recovery practice is all of it, you know. It's service and sponsorship and being sponsored and, you know, showing up to a home group, you know. And like we figure out how it works in our lives at the time and just adapt to what we need and evolve. And I'm so proud of you. I've seen such a change in you, like as you release different levels of codependency. And like,
it's shocking. It is shocking how much I've healed in 1 year of being sponsored and showing up consistently to meetings and doing step work. It is shocking. It has done, and I will say this until I'm blue in the face, doing step work, and I'm not even finished with my first round yet. I'm only halfway through. Doing step work, even to the degree that I've done it, has healed me more than 15 years of talk therapy.
It's so fast.
Of talk therapy, and I really like talk therapy. I'm a proponent of talk therapy. I've had many wonderful, gifted therapists who have changed my life, but it has not done for me what the fellowship has done for me.
There's some things we can only heal in relationship with other people and animals. And if you want to go far, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think that like the company of other people who are looking at themselves and who are questioning like relationship dynamics, you know, it's really like the crux of Al-Anon recovery is the addiction to other people. Right. And so like, and you qualify for healing in that program if you have a problem with someone else's drugs or alcohol, right? So it's like, it's a very broad thing because I think everyone qualifies, but you know, it's so good. And I had it when I was doing it, it was almost like group therapy in a way. Like, I healed so much in like just even the first 2 years of working the Al-Anon program. Like, it was extraordinary. And then like, yeah, anyway, I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And plug for Al-Anon. Plug for 12-step programming generally, let me explain. I do think part of why it did not take for me in the past the way it has with Workaholics Anonymous and then going back into Al-Anon is because the pandemic and lockdown in particular completely changed 12-step spaces, as it has for many things. So now most of the fellowships have totally exploded because there are so many more virtual meetings. All of the in-person meetings had to become virtual. And now, at least with Al-Anon, which is the fellowship I know, there's just like 10 an hour. So you can, for example, with Al-Anon, go on to their website and then look at their meetings list. And there's a section that says in-person meetings, phone meetings, and then virtual meetings, by which they mean Zoom, right? So you can, it's just so much easier to engage with the fellowship because it's frankly easier to leave if you don't like it. I think that's a lot of people's fear, is just showing up the very first time. So just because what we refer to as the rooms or the meetings are virtual, it's so much less of a risk to ask people to show up. And it was even less of a risk for me to do it, even as someone who has a lot of experience in these rooms.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. It's so much easier than it used to be. Worth considering if your fear is showing up.
And something I heard at the beginning that has helped me a lot is like, go to 6 meetings in as close of a time period as you can, like 1 or 2 weeks, and find a meeting that has a personality type that really, because every meeting has its own personality because all the people bring that energy to it. and figure out like what resonates. And I was so lucky that, or I was so blessed. I like to replace lucky with blessed. I was so blessed that my second meeting ever was like my home group. Like it was like they had us, it was called Solutions and Serenity, and it was a solutions-based program. So it wasn't like pity party in the basement. It was like what tools of the program are working for me this week. And like that was kind of the basis for how we did those meetings. And it's so funny because like I had to take two buses to get to my home group, and like that was such a barrier, you know, like it became like even more of the ritual of doing it was like getting to it and getting home from it. And like I love that the barrier to trying it out is so much less now that we have more internet access to healing and home groups.
Yeah, it's incredible. My meeting is on Mondays. It's called Miracle Monday. And it starts at least right now with time changes, it starts at noon. PST.
That's so great. That's
I'll be
something
there.
you can just chunk right into your day.
I will be there. Still doing a lot of service positions because I still love being in charge to some degree.
And it doing volunteer positions in anything, not just recovery, for me, like helps me ease social anxiety because like if I have a purpose to be there, then I don't need to like justify my worthiness, you know, like
100%.
taking up space, you know, and yeah.
Part of the reason it took me so long to, a huge part of the reason it took me so long to be in these spaces and receive is because I didn't have the capacity to receive
Yeah.
forever, for years. And so finally, it wasn't until I had knocked through a bunch of crap energetically and within myself that I finally got to a point where I think, honestly, my sponsor started talking to me. She lives in England. She's wonderful. And she like showed up and I was like, who is this person? You know, and it was so funny because when she originally started, you know, just sort of like, direct messaging me during the Zoom call, I made the assumption, this sounds shitty, but it's just true. I was like, this woman's talking to me because she's pulled toward my energy and she wants to use me. Because
Wow.
that's why most people show up. They know, they understand that I have the ability to heal them and they just show up, right? You know, hashtag my business. And which is fine. I'm grateful that those people show up. That's my job. But I didn't, it was so bewildering to me that this person wanted to give me something. It was so bewildering to me that somebody was showing up to take care of me. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't think that that would have happened until I was ready to experience it.
I think something that's coming through me right now, just thinking about that, is like when the student is ready, the teacher appears.
Yes,
And
100%.
I think a lot of people, just in my interpersonal life, like my motivation is I'm just here to help. And I think people don't always read that because there's so much like trauma clouding them and codependency and, you know,
Yeah,
skepticism of life.
in our friendship and in our connection, I am repeatedly shocked by how accepting and loving you are. And I'm always like it's wild. And it's taught me a lot. So thank you.
Oh, I love you so much, Chrissy. I'm so proud of you. You've done so much. And I'm like, I really am so jazzed that we get to run in life with each other. Like, you really matter a lot to me. Like, we're lifers. Like, and I think part of loving people is just like allowing them to make their independent decisions and being excited for them. And like, it's so funny as someone who is like kind of in an advisor position, sometimes paid, sometimes just your bossy Capricorn friend. Like, I'll tell you stuff and like be like, you got to plug your Patreon. You got to plug your Patreon. And then we realize like 2 years later, oh, this is why you're not plugging your Patreon. Oh, this makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, I have no agenda. My agenda is like you shining your brightest and like you trusting your intuition and insights. Like, I don't have anything. Just recognizing I don't have to be the boss of things and I don't have to control things in order to be safe. I'm just safe anyway. And I'm really here just to love. And one of the most loving things you can do for people is to believe them and support them. Whatever they're doing. And like, if they need to fail forward, you know, like, not that you were failing this, but like, you know what I mean? Like, if someone you love just needs to fail, like, just be there for them. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you saw that coming, but that's all good. You know, like, you're a psychic. Like, you can see shit coming all the time.
Has been debilitating to my relationships to be a person who has a sense of what's going to happen and also be highly controlling And in many ways, manipulative, and feel responsible. This is what codependency is: feel responsible for other people's feelings, happiness, and fulfillment. And that is what Al-Anon has taught me and gotten my head on straight about. And that's also what friends like you have shown me, have demonstrated to me through your own behavior toward me.
I love you, Chrissy. I can't wait for our episode number 5 to see where we will
Yeah.
be at that time.
Who
That's
knows
going to
what's
be
going to be
really
happening?
exciting.
What?
Ugh.
See, see. Thank you so much for having me, Bevan.
Yay. Everybody book Chrissy, chrissytolley.com. And then if you book Chrissy and you vibe with her, I'll see you in her Discord rooms because I love this community. So value. And if you're listening and you're from the Chrissy Tolley Discord, shout out to you. I love you.
Thank you, Bevan.